something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Help! We suck at being newlyweds.
With Dean Ungler,
Kaylin Miller Keys,
and Jared Haven,
an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to an all-new episode of Help! We Suck at Being Newlyweds. I'm Jared Haven. I might sound a little different. I'm a little under the weather, but I feel like I sound manlier. I don't mind having a sore throat. I mean, I do mind. I hate it. I hate it so much. But at the same time, I feel like I sound a little bit more like Batman. So that makes me excited.
That's great. That's what today's topic is, folks. We're going to talk about Jared and his happiness with having a sore throat.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about Batman the entire time. I would love that. I need to start a podcast about something like that. Batman, like just movies in general.
Where is she? I need an outlet
to talk about it.
What's up, man? How are you? So thanks for introducing us. This is Dean and Kaylin, per
usual.
Did I
not say that?
You didn't. You just, you know, you get a little hyper fixated on yourself. That's okay. Happens to us all the time, too.
If you're listening to this podcast and you don't know who Dean and Kaylin are, or that they're the hosts of this podcast, I mean, well, thank you for listening to your first ever episode of Help We Suck at Being Newlyweds, right. But also, like, we all know.
Do you listen to any other podcasts, Jared?
I listen to a lot of local sports talk radio. That's my jam. Mm-hmm. So there's a radio station called 98.5, and I listen to a lot of that. Man, that's a great question. Do I listen to podcasts? I sometimes listen to Bill Burr's podcast, the Monday morning, Thursday afternoon, just before Friday podcast. It's a good one.
I've never heard of that podcast, but so Kaylin listens to her podcast. I listen to my podcast.
What do you guys listen to?
I've been getting really into Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. Kaylin can't really... No,
I like it now. Suddenly, I like it.
Suddenly, I like it.
What happened prior? Why didn't you like it?
She's got her qualms with it, but...
Just one of the co-hosts annoyed me. Yeah.
I'm speaking to Kaylin.
Let me talk for Kaylin real quick. Seriously. Let me tell you what she doesn't like about it.
One of the co-hosts just annoyed me a bit, and then I grew to like her. And it's not... I don't know. It was just like... And I probably do this in our podcast. It was like constant just laughter in the background. But loud laughter. I don't know. It's stupid. It's stupid.
Kaylin has the thing where we drive a lot, obviously. And if I turn on a podcast I like, she'll find something. It doesn't matter what it is. She'll find something that she absolutely hates about it. And then I'm forced to turn it off. Like, for instance, this is the most common one she brings up. It doesn't matter who's hosting or what they're talking about or anything. She hates the way people say their S's. And so she'll be like, every time they say an S word, there's this...
It's so sharp because in Dean's van, it's very loud. So we have to have it super loud. And then their S's are so sharp. It just like hurts my brain.
Yeah. So anyways, all this was going to be to say that there are certain things from certain podcasts that I like. Like I hear Dax, which it took me a while for Dax to grow on me. I like him a lot now, but he does a lot of like little bits. And it's actually funny because Dax reminds me a lot of Wells in a lot of the ways that he does.
I could see that.
Like they're both... like crass, but really
dry,
really funny. Yeah. And so whenever I'm listening to like that podcast or other podcasts that I like to listen to, there's a few others. I'm always like, what can I incorporate into our podcast? So we need to start thinking about what we can incorporate into ours to make it more ourselves, for taking from other people.
Well, the podcast I listen to, they just talk about their lives and what's going on in the world. And those are the ones I enjoy.
What podcast is that?
I like The Toast, and I like The World's First Podcast.
What the hell is that? World's First Podcast?
Yeah, that's, it wasn't, but
it's advertising.
It's Sarah Foster and Aaron Foster, and they just talk about the sisterly dynamic, and they fight a lot. It's interesting.
You just started listening to that?
No, I've been listening for like 6 to 8 months.
Oh, you said Sarah Foster was a guest on The Toast, and that's when you saw her, or heard her talk about it on Toronto.
No, I actually started listening to this podcast because I was in Pacific Palisades, walked by this store, and my friend Allie's like, you know, the Fosters own this brand. You should listen to their podcast.
Yeah. Well, anyways, like I was saying, there is, so what Dax does every time they introduce their or start their podcast is Dax will make up a name for himself and then make up a name for his co-host. And it's very cute. And I tried to do it a couple weeks ago and I said, Tom Cruise's body double. And I'm just trying to think of certain things. And I was going to say it this time, but I couldn't think of anything fast enough. So,
But like, we can't take Dax's thing.
It's just funny and cute. And I want to try
it.
Yeah. Anyways.
No, I think about a lot of sound effects. That's what I wish we had. I know Easton and we've, you know, all talked about it before. We wish we just had like that sound effect that every time we say something, it just gets played every single time. A horn or a fart.
It's funny. I agree. But it's funny because I bet you if we just did a little bit of research and put a little bit of the legwork in, we could find ways to add those sound effects ourselves. But we're just lazy and we don't.
I think it would take a 30-second Google search.
30-second Google search.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And it would be so easy. But we talk about wanting these things. Because I do the same thing. I think sound effects, if we could just put our own sound effects in, like as they're happening, hilarious. But we're just so averse to work. Well, we're more so averse than you are.
I will Google it. And
I'm more so averse to work than you two are.
I also feel that we'd probably get overridden. A producer would step in and be like, that's great, guys. Don't ever do it again.
Well, we can't abuse the sound effects button. It has to be like, we have to keep it to like 5 and fewer every episode.
That might work. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. 5 times. If we do it more than 5 times, then we create another sound effect that we have to play to be played when we play the sound effect 5 times or more.
The overused sound effect. Right. Okay.
Exactly.
So that's our homework for next week. We'll all do some research, get some sound effects. We'll have 3 sound effects each. And we can only use them 3 each. So that's 9. I know that's a little higher, but 3 each seems like an appropriate amount.
You know what's sad? Caitlin and I will actually do this, and then Dean will be the one who comes in and be like, all right, guys, I don't have my 3 sound effects today.
I'm just going to make my own sound effects. Wah, wah, wah. We've got a great episode today, don't we?
We sure do.
We got sexy.
You guys are in Hawaii right now.
Yeah, we're coming to you from Hawaii.
We got Jared's sexy Batman voice, which is great.
Anytime awesome. I'm sick, Dean, he says I sound like Tara. What's her name? Tara Reid?
Yeah, when you get sick.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you sound so sexy. You sound like Tara Reid.
Jared, can you? 90s throwback.
Can you corroborate this? I think when a girl, like specifically a girl that, I guess I don't know how to describe this. Like Caitlin, for instance, you know, classically beautiful, proper, well-spoken. And then she gets sick and she gets this rasp in her voice. And something about a girl with a raspy voice is so hot. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I think this is something that we can't talk about on air because we will be judged mercilessly.
And maybe, no, maybe talk cancer. About it. Talk about it.
Well, because it's just like there's... I 100% agree with you. I think it just adds like a element of
like an edginess.
Sex appeal?
Yeah, edginess would be a proper word that I'll use. edginess. Yeah, edginess.
I want to know what you really think.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what I really think.
Wait, type it in the chat. I'm so curious.
okay, yeah, I'll type it in the trash.
Trash.
I will type it in the chat.
All right, and I'll say it out loud. He said
that I think guys just there's like this on attraction to not like Caitlin, not all the time, but there are times where it's like there's moments, and maybe Dean, I'm way off on this, but for me personally, I would include a raspy voice in this, and like there's like I would also say like tattoos. And like an arm sleeve, you know what I mean? There's just like this element of like edge and
trashiness.
Mysteriousness. Yeah, something like that. I didn't say it.
Something like that. I said something it. I'll take the blame on that one. Yeah, I wonder what it is. I think like the rebellion factor, like they sound like they've chain smoked a pack of cigarette every day since they were 6 years old.
I don't know. I think it's like sexy for women to have a raspy voice as well. I don't know what it is, but it's like,
maybe because it's so
damn, I wish my voice sounded like that.
Maybe because like you don't see it very often, and that's why. Like the unique appeal of it.
It's just like, I don't know, it's just like weirdly sexy, and I don't think you can put your finger on it.
Yeah.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another, and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight, and honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a question for Kaylin. What do you, I'm pretty sure we've talked about on this podcast before, but it still just baffles my mind. What is it about men that you find sexy?
Mm. Ooh.
Especially out of shape and overweight men like me.
Yeah, like I look at myself and I try to keep myself in good shape and I feel like I am somewhat handsome, but it's like I was looking at my hands and I'm like, there's hair all over my hands.
Dean has hair-free hands, actually.
What?
You have hair-free hands.
Hair-free. I said hair-for hands.
Yeah. Well, I have hair on my hands, and like I just am like, all, you know, it's just like knuckles and muscles everywhere, and I'm like, why does Ashley find me attractive? Like, I have chicken legs, and just like I have hair on my butt, and it's just like,
yeah, so does Dean.
Most of the time, we smell, and like our feet are just like big and weird looking. And I'm like, I don't understand. I don't get it.
I went to wipe my butt the other day. Like, it was like a couple weeks ago.
Oh my gosh, what are you talking about?
I went to wipe my butt the other day. And this
I'm
is the first time
this conversation.
This is the first time it's happened to me in 32 years of life.
Oh no.
And there was like wads of toilet paper in my butt crack. Like stuck in my butt, in my butt hair. And it was one of the most unappealing moments I've ever had in my life.
I was about to say what I find attractive about men, and now I just I
came out of the bathroom. I was like, Kaylin, there was a wad of toilet paper in my butthole from the last time I wiped.
You never said that.
You don't remember that?
Maybe I had headphones
I think it was when we were in Winter Park. And it was one of the most humbling experiences, because I also feel very unattractive all the time. And then on top of that, I'm pulling wads of toilet paper out of my butt crack.
But that is not something you should share with your fiance.
Why?
What?
Yeah, but answer Jared's question, because I'm curious as well.
Well, before Dean said that, I was going to say I'm very attracted to arms. Like, not like super, like overly buff arms, but like perfectly little, not little, but perfectly cut arms.
Oh, no.
Like Dean's. Dean's.
She
Dean's
said
are, like,
the word. She said the L word.
I say little to everything. Everything's little, you know, and cute.
I just
cute.
Love Dean's cute little arms.
Not little. Please. Dean's has huge arms.
For all the people out there, never describe the man you love with the word little.
Okay, Dean has massive arms.
Dean's got the cutest little penis.
Okay, arms. I like arms that have muscle and definition, and I like eyes.
Well, I haven't had definition of my arms.
Your
in many
arms.
Years.
Show them. Get naked on the podcast again.
No.
Yeah, your arms are big.
No, they saw it 2 weeks ago. It's the worst it's ever been. I agree. And I have never felt uglier. And I will say this, Kaylin's going to get mad at me, but when we first started dating, she would compliment how cute I was or how handsome I was basically every day for the first year and a half. And I don't think I've heard it since.
No, he doesn't hear it anymore. His ears turn off when I say, you're so handsome, you're so cute. He just goes, ugh, and scoffs. And he's like, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm this, I'm that. And I'm like, I'm complimenting you, but it's hard to compliment you when you've just dismissed me.
Kaylin had on her flight the other day, she had a memory in her phone from like 3.5 years ago when we first started dating. We were in Mexico on a separate trip after Paradise, and I was tan and I was skinny. And I was like, damn, I could see how you could fall in love with that guy, but you can't fall in love with this guy because I'm overweight and
you are not
very pale.
You just have a complex and you need to get over it.
Even when I was in my best shape of my life, I remember I was on The Bachelorette and I was sitting there and I was like, oh, I'm so fat and gross and ugly. And I was like 180 pounds, 20 pounds less than I am now. And one of the producers was interviewing me and he's like, I think you have body dysmorphia. Like, you're buff and you look really good. And I was like, yeah, I might have body dysmorphia.
I think you do.
And now couple that with the fact that I am gaining weight and getting out of shape, it's just compounded to be this big bad thing.
But I don't think you are overweight or out of shape. And I love you so much. So doesn't that mean anything?
It means something, I guess. I think it's Hollywood. You know, if you don't have the washboard six-pack Gerard Butler abs. Gerard Butler. If you don't have those abs from 300, you're out of shape, and Hollywood has scorned us. And
I will say, moving to LA definitely changed how I view my body too, and in probably a toxic way.
Yeah, 100%.
Why do you guys think I love Rhode Island so much? Ashley talks about that all the time. I went to the walk-in yesterday just to get tested because I'm feeling a little sick, but I don't have strep. But the doctor was like, "Oh, do you go to URI, which is the university down the road?" And I go, "No." And then she looks at my chart and she goes, "You're 34." She's like, I thought you were 22. And then Ashley has a theory that the Rhode Island 30 is like 50 anywhere else in the country. So it's just because people are more weathered here.
Yeah.
They look older. So we look so young, which is fantastic. So I love being over here because everybody thinks I'm in my 20s. And I'm like, nope.
All that Botox you get.
I've never gotten Botox.
Good for you. I'm surprised. Living with Nick for 2 years and you're coming out of it Botox free. That's impressive.
It was impressive. It was hard to say no. I'm not adverse to getting Botox, but I'd be way too scared because I've seen, like, when you first get Botox, I've seen what people look like. Their eyebrows are raised, like it's so transparent, and I don't like the way. Like I've had buddies who've gotten Botox, and I'm just like, I don't like the way it looks. And then afterwards, it settles down, and then you don't have that many wrinkles. But I'm like, I don't know, unless it gets really wrinkly. Also, like I like Wells has them really good. We're talking about Wells. God, we should just talk. Help, we talk about Wells too much. He's got the what's this called?
Crow's
feet. The smile lines. Crow's feet.
Is it crow's feet?
I think so. But crow's feet are normally negative.
I thought it was crow something, but those are great. Don't get rid of those.
Yeah. There is definitely something positive to be said about aging gracefully. And I think the LA culture has delayed the aging process as best they can.
Yeah.
And I'm not aging gracefully.
Yes, you are. Come on. You're have some confidence.
You're aging gracefully, my friend.
And yeah. But like you said, there's nothing wrong with getting a little work done every now and then.
Have you guys ever gotten Botox?
Do you think this guy's ever gotten Botox?
All the time.
No, but I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see Dean getting Botox.
I could never.
Back in his Paradise 4 season days.
Yeah.
I think when Kayla and I first started dating, I was like, hey, I don't, well, granted, whatever, like, who cares what I have to say. But I was like, have you ever thought about not
Hopefully
getting Botox?
Some people, because you host a podcast.
Well, I was trying to convince her, like, urge Kayla that she doesn't need Botox or all this stuff. And I was like, if you ever decide to get it or do it, just like, don't tell me about it. And there was some.
And then one time we were at an appointment that was running late. So Dean had to drive me to my Botox appointment.
Well, no, I was going to say there was one time where you came back and I was like, what were you doing all day? And you're like, oh, nothing, just hanging out with someone. And I was like looking at you or something. And I was like, did you get Botox today?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was.
But I also got my lip fillers dissolved, which if anyone's thinking about doing it, it is the most painful thing ever. But it's also really good because lip fillers migrate and they migrated to like up above my lip.
I think lip filler is the worst trend in Hollywood, in the history of Hollywood.
What do you mean it goes up to the upper lip? So your upper lip becomes inflated?
Yeah. So when I smiled, you could see the filler like up in my upper lip. And I saw a photo of me. And I was like, oh my God, that is hideous. So I booked an appointment, got it dissolved, but it's like eating away at all of the filler. So it's just incredibly painful, but it's good. And I think most people get filler thinking like it lasts for years, but there is upkeep that you have to do and it will migrate if you don't.
I've learned so much about beauty since being with Ashley. So she also got filler, but she sometimes gets lip filler, but she got like something in her cheeks and jaw. I don't know. I think it's filler too. Yeah, I guess. But so, because my biggest fear, I'm like, Ashley, just like, it can't, you know, you can't get surgery done. I never want you to do that because we've just seen how it turns out. And I feel like it, when you age, it never turns out well. And then one day she got filler and I came in because I picked her up from the doctor's office and she looked, she's walking in. Here, come here for a second. So she looked fake. And I was like, oh my God. Oh no, it happened. And then I didn't know at the time. So it was filler, which apparently dissolves. And she got too much filler. She said the doctor did too much filler. I won't say who it is. But I was like, I had a heart attack there in the moment because like, oh my God, she looks like she had plastic surgery. Holy shit. What the hell is going on? Because honestly, it was just like, it is scary. You change your face. And I'm like, this is not the wife. This is not the wife. This is not the person I married.
This is not what I signed up for.
So let me explain a little bit further. I had been getting chin filler for 5 years now. And I love it. And it's well done. And nobody would know. And Jared has usually no idea that anything was done that day. I usually always tell him, I'm going to go get Botox. Because he knows that Botox just freezes my forehead. And that it doesn't have any other like visual effects.
Are you telling me you've been lying to me?
Sometimes
for how many years?
Sometimes I do that as well.
Because like it's just
you
easier.
Liars.
No, and sometimes it's easier. Like if I go, I'm just gonna go get Botox. Then like I'm gonna go get my chin filler today. Like, come on, you don't know the difference. So Jared usually doesn't know the difference. And I had gone to this one doctor. It was not my normal, and it was just
You don't have to explain what the doctor is. Let's just go.
Okay. So go there, and I'm like, I usually get chin filler. I'm due for a little chin filler, and then I was like. And like, what else do you want to do? Like, is there anything else we should do? And he was like, we could definitely do, like, we should do a little cheek filler, blah, blah, blah. And I walked out looking like Jay Leno.
She looked like Jay Leno.
And my cheeks were so big. And I was like, I've never had swelling like this before with filler. Like, never. Like, I mean, yes, I do get pretty puffy. But, like, it's usually, it's, you know, it's gone in a couple of days. This was so crazy noticeable.
Yeah, I picked you up from the doctor's office and I was ready to drive
to
the courthouse to file for divorce.
Yeah, he was so, so mad. So I was like, okay, we're going to give it a couple days to see if it goes down. If it doesn't go down, then, like, I made sure that he put in dissolvable filler because because then we'll just go back home to LA. And
it
we'll,
went down.
And it did. It went down significantly. And even after a week or so, I still thought it was a bit too much.
It was so fine, though.
I did get it dissolved in my chin ended up fine, but my cheeks, I got that out.
Was that painful? Because
that's really the issue here. It's not the filler. It was the performance of the person putting in the filler.
Oh, what were you saying, Kaylin?
Was dissolving her cheek filler painful? Because dissolving my lips was like the most painful thing ever.
Oh, I'm like, I have like the highest pain tolerance ever when it comes to like aesthetic needles. When I get my lips injected, I tell them don't put numbing on me. Because numbing, I know, I'm insane.
It's so ridiculous because this woman cries on an instant. Literally yesterday we were having
physical pain.
I know, but it's so funny that we can literally yesterday having a conversation, which we'll talk about on this podcast, about Rhode Island and moving and where we're going to live. And she just starts crying because she gets so emotional so fast, literally like within 5 seconds of talking, because she just gets so worked up so fast that she starts crying. But then she goes to these beauty things where I go because I've gotten a facial with Ashley and like I'm on the verge of tears because I've gotten these black things on my nose.
Jared literally almost cries every time I get his
They're
nose
digging extracted. Into my nose with this metal needle. And I'm like, it's this
the
is
best part.
A facial. Oh, it's the horrible. And it's so painful.
It's because he doesn't take care of his skin. So, of course, he gets in there and they have to they have to bulldoze it out.
Oh, it's terrible. And then there was something with my forehead. I don't remember what you did. It was a while ago. It's like zaps.
Oh, zaps? That's good too.
No, it's good for the skin. I get it. I understand.
We did Vivace?
I don't know, but I just remember it was like zaps on my forehead and it's like
hot. Oh, he's talking about high frequency.
And it's like a little needle just like like bouncing up and down in your skin. And I'm like, this is hard. It's like a jackhammer on my face.
That was Vivace and you're fine.
No, it was great. It was wonderful. Obviously, the skin feels good. My point is, I'm not someone who can handle beauty pain. And it's so funny that you cry all the time, and yet with beauty pain, which is painful, you're like, I'm fine. I will never cry during this.
Let me just explain to people why the fillers, I won't put it in my lips with numbing on it. So the numbing, I get really puffy from numbing, so it's really hard to tell how much to put in there when I'm already super puffy from the numbing. And that's the end of the story. And I'm all just right, like, cool. Okay, we got it. But filler is not bad. It's about the person putting the filler in.
There we go. Good to know. Factoid right there.
Well, thankfully, we don't really have to worry too much about that. I will say I have a very high pain tolerance. I would say higher than normal. Like when I broke my leg in Switzerland, I was just kind of like, oh, this isn't, I sprained my hip. I'm going to ski down now. And then I realized I dislocated my leg and fractured my femur. But if someone tries to like braid my hair, I'm like, oh my God, this is the most painful thing I've ever felt in my life. It's weird how it's kind of flip-flop like that, because Kaylin also is kind of a wuss when it comes to regular physical pain, but then yet she goes out and gets all this stuff done, like the microneedling and stuff like that. Does that hurt?
Microneedling?
Yeah.
Well, they numb you for most things.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so I don't know. And the tattoos, I get a lot of tattoos. Those always feel really good. It's like a...
I'm getting a tattoo.
Are you?
I'm doing it. I just got to figure out the day we're going to do it. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to get a tattoo.
This is big news. What's the tattoo going to be?
It is big news. So it's going to be, because I love Superman and I love Tom Brady. So what I'm thinking about doing is the Superman symbol, which I don't know the shape of it, but the outside of it, you guys imagine the Superman symbol.
It's like the diamond shape.
Yeah, it's a diamond shape. Thank you. So it's a diamond shape, but instead of an S in there, it's going to be a TB12. It's going to be the TB12 insignia, the logo.
Wait, and this is your first tattoo ever?
It's going to be my first tattoo.
Wow, this is big.
I can't say I'm surprised, but...
Obviously, you should never be surprised. I'll probably get more.
Where is the location?
I don't know. I was thinking, do I get it on my arm somewhere? Do I get it on my back? Ashley wants it on my arm. But then I guess it would be hidden because it would be all, I always wear like short sleeve shirts. Yeah, either the arm or the back.
Listen, as someone that's got a lot of shitty tattoos, I have nothing but support for you to get this shitty tattoo.
Much appreciated. I mean, it was either going to be this or an Instagram verified checkmark.
Who would ever do that?
That's funny, dude.
That's funny, bro. Shut up, man.
Yeah, no, that's a great. I like that. I'm excited to see you get it. It's a slippery slope, though. I'm telling you, you're going to get one. You're how old? 34, 35?
Yeah.
You're going to get one, and then all of a sudden you're going to wake up at 40 years old with a full sleeve. And
dude, look at Nick. Nick, I mean, I remember when he was talking about he would never get a tattoo. Now he's covered in them.
Yeah, he is. I've only seen pictures of him. I haven't really seen Nick in person in a long time. But yeah, he got covered quick. He got them all in like 6 months, it seems like.
I know. It was fast. So we'll see. I mean, that's probably going to be my first one. And then I'll probably get another one too. I'd like to get a few tattoos.
I like that you are a new father and you're going to get your first tattoo. And it's Tom Brady.
I'm going through a midlife crisis, guys. I'm going to buy a Lamborghini next.
Dude, you can afford a Lambo? That's pretty sweet.
No, I can't afford one, but I said I'd still purchase one. It's a midlife crisis that like requires going $250,000 in debt.
You're still far, far away from your midlife, dude. Don't worry. But you're like a quarter life right now.
Oh, well, thanks. Also, yeah, speaking of life, RIP Jerry Springer, huh? 79.
Yeah, died of cancer. Did you see that?
Yeah. Was it cancer?
Yeah, he had cancer.
Oh, dude.
Also, crazy. Did you know that he was the mayor of Cincinnati or something like that? I had no idea.
I remember him getting into politics. Yeah, I remember him running for politics. I never remember if he won or not.
Mm.
It was like right around the same time that like Jesse Ventura was running for mayor from Minnesota, I think it was, and then Schwarzenegger was the governor of California. So yeah, it was like all that time when celebrities first started really getting into politics. But yeah, Jerry Springer, damn, crazy man. Ashley and I talk about that all the time. Like, when is it gonna start being, well, we'll know when, but it's gonna be weird when people we started growing up with start dying of old age. So like, think about when like Tom Cruise passes away, hopefully when he's like 140. But like, people like that generation, when they start dying from old age, like Keanu Reeves, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Jesus, we're old.
This is kind of like this is a much smaller version of that. But like in the NFL, all of the quarterbacks we grew up watching are now like retiring. Like Aaron Rodgers has 2 years left. He's probably like the last one that we really can say is like our childhood quarterback, you know?
Oh, 100%. It's so depressing. Like the idea, it's when I think about it, that's why I think also the sadness of Tom Brady retiring really hit home, because it was like a piece of the childhood still clinging on. Like, oh, yeah. No, Brady's still quarterback. It's like, nope, not anymore. Manning's gone. Brady's gone. You know, Favre is gone. He's gone for a while. Who else was like that? We don't have to talk about sports, but yeah, man, crazy.
I played golf here in Hawaii yesterday So we were getting our rental car, and there was this other young couple in the rental car place, and this guy had a travel golf bag with him. And I was like, oh, and he looked like a cool guy. And I was like, oh, what's up, man? You playing golf while you're here?
He's got a golf bag. He's got a golf bag.
Actually.
I was like, hey, you playing golf while you're here? He's like, yeah, you know, we're here for like a week. I might play some golf. I was like, can I please give you my phone number and you can text me and we can play golf together? And
I was like, did you get his number? He's like, I'm trying to be cool. He didn't ask for it yet.
Dude, you're like Paul Rudd from I Love You, Man.
Oh, I literally felt so like desperate for a friendship when I was talking to him. So I gave him my number and he finally texted me and we played golf yesterday. Great guy.
He finally texted me. I was waiting.
Okay, we're in the rental car. And Dean's like, he hasn't texted yet. I'm like, Dean, it's been 10 minutes.
It took him like 30 minutes to text me and I was sweating every single minute. And so we played golf yesterday and he's like, yeah, I'm celebrating my birthday next week. And I was like, how old are you turning? He's like, I'm turning 26.
I thought he said 25.
He's 25, turning 26. Oh, okay. And I was like, fuck, I'm getting so old.
I know. It's the worst, man.
No, but anyways, I beat him at golf. That's all that really matters.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight, and honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much. And I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black Lead products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black Lead brand, we make room for another Black Lead brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partick Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyways, let's talk about you, Jared. So you are having more of a midlife crisis. You're also having a locational crisis, or how else you want to coin it. What do you think?
Oh, it's definitely a locational crisis. So obviously everybody knows that we moved to Rhode Island, my home state. I love Rhode Island so much. I love being here. I've always wanted to live here. Ashley, we've always talked about on the podcast, Ashley's, you know, she struggles here in Rhode Island. We're trying to make it better for her. There's not as much of a family dynamic as I was hoping for. Like, my family's close, but she's much closer, like, in terms of the core. You know, if we live down in Virginia or anytime we go down to Virginia, it's like always spending time with her family and her sister. And there's definitely a different dynamic. And so I think it's really hitting Ashley now, because we were looking at this beach. There's this private beach club that a few of our friends belong to. And I was like, oh, we should look into it. They were thinking about getting passes. And, you know, it's a decent amount of money. It's like a couple $1,000 for the whole year. I'm like, oh, I don't know if we're going to spend that much money, but let's go look at it. And she was just kind of having like a negative attitude about the whole thing. And so I was kind of, I'm like, what is wrong? And she's like, nothing. I just don't know. Like, you're going to be able to go there. You work all the time. Like, I feel like I'm home alone constantly, blah, 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 blah. And I could tell it was just bothering her. And then she finally was just like, I just don't like living in Rhode Island. And I was like, oh no. Like, it was the first time that she really just like adamantly, point blank said, I don't like living in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no. So, you know, I'm not, it just like begged a lot of questions in my mind because everybody always talks, would you move for, you know, how important is location? Would you move for the person that you love so much? And of course I would. Like if Ashley was like, hey, we either get divorced or you move to Virginia. Of course I moved to Virginia, but it makes me sad to know that she doesn't love it here and really doesn't even like it that much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tough because we opened Audrey's and I work there all the time and I get it. Like a lot of my time and effort goes into there, but it was something that we both agreed upon when we first opened it. And it's definitely getting better. But it's time consuming, especially, you know, it's a restaurant. So it's open Saturday and Sunday. So it's not like every Saturday and Sunday I can just do whatever I want. Like I kind of have to hop in and out because those are really busy times and I want to show face. And it was so funny. We were talking about this and she's like, you need to make sure that you have like more weekends off because that's the only time our friends can hang out. Or, you know, if you want me to try to form a friend group, like we need to focus on that. I'm like, I totally get it. And then she was also saying how there's no time to just be spontaneous and like, hey, let's go to Boston today. And I said, yeah, but that kind of comes with the territory of just adding more responsibility to our lives, you know, i.e. a kid and a business. You know, you can't be as spontaneous as we once before. We can go to Boston, but like we really have to plan it. And it's tough, especially if we bring Dawson, like it's nap time. We have to bring Whole Food. Like there's a whole thing to it. So, and it was ironic because we were walking on the, you know, the whole point when we were going to see this beach club was like, oh, well, you know, I have some time tonight. I got home from work and it was like, it's pretty nice out. Let's go take the dog and Dawson for a walk by the water. And so we were walking by the water and it's really nice. And we were talking about Rhode Island and how she just I don't think she really wants to be here for that much longer. She really wants to move home. She misses her family. It would probably be either Virginia or LA. She much prefers living in LA to Rhode Island. And she prefers living in Virginia to Rhode Island. So it's like out of the three places, the three locations, Virginia, Rhode Island, or LA, Rhode Island's definitely the last on the list for her. And before we had a kid, it was different. I think she always thought like, oh, I could live anywhere, you know, because she has moved around. She lived in New York. She lived in Virginia, Jersey, LA. She's kind of been all over the place. And she's like, oh, I could live anywhere. Like I have no, you know, heart in setting, in establishing roots in one place. So Rhode Island's fine by me. But now doing it and then having a kid and then, you know, having Dawson not be able to be around her parents as much or her sister as much when there's like her sister's over her parents' house all the time and they're always hanging out. And Ashley's the one who's not always hanging out because she lives in Rhode Island. And I think that's really, really starting to weigh on her more and more and more as time goes on, especially having a son who's just, you know, not being able to fit into that family dynamic unless we travel there, which is like probably once every 5-6 weeks or so. Still a lot, but not as much as she wants. Anyway, circling back when we were doing the walk, it was so funny because we were walking up and down the street talking about Audrey's and how she, like, I need to start stepping away from it more and more because it's just, she feels very lonely here in Rhode Island. And we walked past this couple and they're like, oh, Jared, I love Audrey so much. And he was like, you know, he's like, it's crazy. You know, first time I went in there, I saw you working there. And he's like, you know, it really makes a difference seeing, you know, going in, seeing the owner just like, you know, you made my sandwich. And of course, Ashley's like, you got to be freaking kidding me right now.
Like scripted out of a movie almost.
Unbelievable. So I was like, oh boy, she didn't like, thank you so much. Thank you. So, and they were so nice. And of course, that was the sweetest thing. And Ashley recognized that too. But yeah, it's tough, man. I don't know what exactly we're going to do because Rhode Island, it's weird when, I don't know if you guys can relate, but there's that, I always think about movies in times like this because I always just think about movies, but there's a line in Rocky Balboa where Paulie, who is Rocky's his brother-in-law, is talking about this meat shop that he works in. Everybody knows the scene where Rocky goes in the first movie and he uses the cow's like ribs as a punching bag. But anyway, so Paulie still works at that same place. And he was talking about like, when you're in a place for so long, you become a part of that place. Like you just become a part of that. And weirdly enough, like I feel like because of my pride and love for my home state, like there's this, I feel like this is my place, you know? It's, so it's weird thinking about not being here by, you know, at least in the long run. Of course, when we were in LA, there was always an end game to move back here. And so I don't know, man, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't think we can move back to LA. I don't think I could move back to LA and I could live in Virginia, I think, but I'd be kind of sad about it. And then we think about, you know, should we compromise and move somewhere in the middle? And I feel like that defeats the purpose as well, because
let's both be miserable.
Exactly. So instead of one of us getting where we want to live, like we just move in the middle somewhere in, you know, New York or Pennsylvania or something. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me either. You know, it's all just the beginning stages. But yesterday was the first time where I think it really clicked in my head that, like, I don't know if we'll live in Rhode Island for the rest of our lives. And I guess I've always envisioned that, especially when we moved back, our plan was like, I would always joke around with Ashley. I'd be like, you know, it's kind of funny, but like, this is the place, you know, we're going to die. And yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
If you guys were to move, what would happen to Audrey's? Would you keep it open and just like hire another you?
That's a great question. I don't think, it really depends if Audrey's was profitable enough to keep open, which it's not right now, but you know, restaurants in the first couple of years don't really make that much money and we're still working towards that, but that's tough. I don't know. Cause I also love I love the sense of community of owning a restaurant or an establishment like that. So, but it does take up so much of my time and effort and we don't make money from it. So it is, you know, Ashley gets very frustrated at that, which I totally understand because it just sucks money, time, effort, and happiness. So I don't know, but I haven't thought about whether I keep Audrey's open or not. I think the more like the biggest thing I've been thinking about a lot is just like, yeah, I think even though she doesn't have my family, it's just like my family dynamic is so much different than her family dynamic. So it's hard to relate. But it is tough because every time we go back home, like her parents are just, her mom is so involved and her sister is so involved. You know, we just don't have that here. Like my parents are involved, and my sister is involved, but like everybody's got their own stuff going on. And there's not like this real true effort. Like every day, they talk. Every day they FaceTime. And if we live there, every day they'd see each other or like do something. It's crazy. It's wonderful, but it's just different.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you have a place that you... I know you guys live in Vegas. Like, are you both happy to live in Vegas for the rest of your lives?
No. Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah, I could live there for the rest... No, I'm just kidding. No, it's kind of... It's funny, too, because you mentioned a lot of these things. And I was thinking to myself the whole time, like, it's got to be tough for... I guess it's more so Ashley than it is you, but like, you know, you come on this podcast once a week and talk to us and here we are both unemployed, without a child, and we can just travel to Japan and Hawaii for 2 weeks and not have to really worry about anything.
Oh, honestly, that thought never even crossed my mind. Like, guys, oh my God. Yeah. You guys travel, be happy. Do what you want to do. Like Audrey's was my decision. Man. Ashley and I having a kid was our decision, you know, like everything that we've done is our decision. And it's not a bad thing. It's wonderful. Like, I do love owning a business. And obviously, Dawson has brought us so much happiness and joy. But with anything in life, and any parent can tell you, or any business owner can tell you, is that there's just a lot of negatives to it as well. But you just have to, you know, it depends on your personality. If you have the work ethic, if you have, you know, the passion to do what you're doing, both with parenting and being a business owner, you know, there's a lot of pride that comes with it. So, but yeah, no, like we give a f- about that.
No, I'm not saying you give a f- about it, but I'm just saying, you know, like it's just interesting dynamic. We're not going to stay in Vegas forever.
We want to buy a house in Denver. Like, I think we both want to be in Colorado.
Well, yeah. I mean, I love Colorado.
Yeah.
Kaylin, what did you say the other, like you said, like last month? You're like, well, it's always been your dream to live in Colorado, hasn't it? And I was like, yeah, like I would love to live in Colorado. Similar, like my Colorado's my Rhode Island, you know?
Yeah.
Granted, where I would want to live, the houses are all $2 million and there's no way we could afford one of those, which is unfortunate.
No, they're like $20 million.
They're very expensive. And so we would have to compromise, I guess, and live outside of that area. But Kaylin was like, well, it's your dream to live in Colorado. And I was like, well, I don't want us to do something because you think it's my dream. Because while, yeah, I could see myself spending the rest of my life in Colorado, mm-hmm. I don't want us to move there because I want to move there, you know, because there's a lot of responsibility for, like, similar to you, like you bring Ashley and the family to Rhode Island, you feel like you have a bit of a responsibility or a burden to make them love it as much as you do.
Exactly.
But two things. It's like, one, if we're not happy, we can always move. And when we moved to Vegas. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But my grandparents, we moved to Vegas because my grandparents are there.
Oh, your grandparents are in Colorado. I thought your grandparents were in Vegas.
No, so they're in Vegas. The reason we moved to Vegas was because they're not because they're there, but it helped. And I didn't realize, like, moving to LA, how nice it is to have family close. And now they're moving to Denver. So it would be nice to have them still there. And we're closer to Dean's brothers. So I think it's like family makes a huge difference in where you live.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to live closer to my brothers. We moved to Las Vegas to be closer to some of Kaylin's family. But even then, we only saw them once every like 2 weeks.
That's because we're never home.
And if we moved closer to my brothers, we would see them once every 2 weeks, maybe two. Like, we're just not very, we're not as close to our families as like an Ashley or something. You know what I mean?
So, Kaylin, if Dean was not involved, if you weren't with Dean, where do you think you'd want to end up?
I have no idea. I hate Virginia. I'm also not like Ashley. I will never move back to Virginia.
Okay.
It is like not the place for me. I was so unhappy when I lived there. And my family's been talking about moving to Denver. So it's like my mom wants to move there. My grandparents moving there. So it just like, I don't know. It just like kind of weirdly fits. Like, he wants to be in Colorado. I've always loved Colorado. Like, the cold is not that appealing to me. So ideally, I'd like to live somewhere warmer, but I really think family is way more important when you're moving, like, to consider than I thought.
Oh, 100%.
Well, Kaylin fails to realize, I know it gets cold in Virginia, but it gets far colder in Colorado.
Well, I've been talking to Jess about this a lot, Ben's wife, and because she moved from Tennessee to Denver. And I'm like, if Jess can do it, I can do it. And she's been giving me a lot of tips. So
I mean, I just got to say, every time we visit a cold state, whether it be Colorado or Montana,
you're always so negative.
I don't want to say you're miserable, but you definitely thrive in warmer weather.
For sure. But I'll be fine in a winter. I lived in Virginia. We have winters. I know you don't think we do, but we do.
It gets cold in Colorado, man.
I know. Okay. Why are you so negative?
I'm not. I just want to make sure. I just don't think you fully understand how cold it can get in Colorado.
I have talked.
And it's one thing to visit a place for like a weekend and be like, oh, it's cold. It's another thing to live through a winter in Colorado when the sun is only up for 6 hours and it's minus 10 degrees all day long. And yeah, I'm not saying you're going to be miserable. I'm just saying it's a big...
I keep going back to like, if we're unhappy, we can move. But Jared, you said it's not that easy.
Well, it's not that easy because what if Dean doesn't want to move out of Colorado once he's there?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty easy. I'll live anywhere. If Kaylin's like, I want to live in rural Iowa, I'd be like, all right, let's go for it. Let's see what happens.
That's true. You're pretty easy. Alaska.
I don't really have many restrictions to my lifestyle, you know? As long as there's like a good international airport somewhere close by, I'll be happy.
Yeah, you're fine. Well, it depends because right now I think we're going through the point of it because moving location is a big part of it, but Dawson is also a huge part of it because, you know, Kaylin, you guys were talking about winters and be like, oh, I'll be fine in cold weather. If you guys do have kids one day, it will be different because it's like, you're going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to just like, oh, it's cold. We'll go skiing or snowboarding or we'll have fun. We'll have fun little adventures because it's, you know, you have responsibilities. You have a kid and there's just a lot more difficulty of like, do I even want to drag our son up to this thing because he's going to hate it and cry and then I'm going to be miserable. It's kind of like the talk we have every time we go. Like Ashley's like, we should go out to dinner. And I'm like, I know, but it's tough bringing Dawson because we're going to bring him there. And the first half hour is just going to be us entertaining him and trying to get the food out for him as quick as possible. And then once he eats and he's done eating and our food comes, I feel bad because then I'm going to put the phone in front of him because he's going to lose his mind and we just have to eat food. And so we eat as fast as we can. And then we're like, oh, okay, that was nice. Let's get a check and get the hell out of here. And I'm like, it's not that enjoyable for me. So it's like it definitely changes when you have kids. And not for the better, not for worse, because there's so many great things that have happened in our lives because of Dawson, that little things that add up every day, you know, throughout, just even seeing him like there's nothing that brings me more joy than when he's crying for no reason, because he's just crying. And then I'll literally just play peekaboo with him for a second and his entire face changes where he goes from crying to being the happiest thing alive. And just knowing that I have the capability and power to do that of literally just going behind the wall and then popping back out there's something special in there. And those moments throughout the day is what makes parenting so incredible. But of course, there's so many moments throughout the day that also, or throughout your life, that make it so much harder, because everything just becomes harder once you have a kid. And then obviously we opened Audrey's, which makes things even, you know, more difficult on top of that, because I feel a certain level of responsibility to ensure that I'm there and I can make sure that this business is running, because, you know, I've put so much stake into it. But it's interesting. I'm very interested to see what happens with you guys, because you'll be fine, obviously, but it will be interesting to see where you guys end up. If you guys do have kids, how that evolves your relationship, especially after you get married this year. And are you going to establish more roots, or because you're such travelers, or if you guys are going to still be able to just like travel with your child and see how that goes.
Child's going to live in the van.
That's what Dean wants to do.
The baby's going to live in the van. He's going to be happy. I say he. I don't know if it's going to be a he or
she. I hope.
She's going to be really happy.
I feel like both of you are just boy. Like, I just get boy vibes.
I'm girl dad all the way.
Oh, I want a boy so bad.
I want a girl dad all the way. I do want to live in a place like Colorado with a baby. If we do have a baby, obviously, big if. Probably not going to happen, but...
Oh, just keep going. You always do this. It's ridiculous.
I want to be able to get that baby on some skis when they're 1 year old and, like, you know, go up into the mountains and do a bunch of stuff, because I feel like growing up in Colorado has opened up so many doors to, like, be outside and appreciate the outdoors. And if you get them started at a young age, you just, like, build up that foundation for that, enjoying that lifestyle. And like, they're too young to realize how much they hate it. Sure, they'll cry and do all these things. But if you're making them ski, not making, if you're letting them ski and taking them on hikes and doing all these things with them at a young age, and it just ingrains that in them, I feel like Colorado is one of those places where you can really do that, like with the access to the outdoors, you know? So that's why Las Vegas is not a long-term solution for us, because there is great outdoor stuff there, but, and great people come from Las Vegas. I have not met many people that grew up in Las Vegas where I'm like, oh, you seem very level-headed and rational.
You really? Know?
But Colorado, I think, produces a fair amount of those. And granted, yeah, my sample size is much smaller for Las Vegas than it is for Colorado. So maybe that's what it is. But
no, I do agree. One of Dean's best friends, I was talking to his girlfriend, and he also grew up in LA or Colorado. And we're like, Colorado people are just like raised so differently. Like, they just have this freedom because it's safe and they're able to like explore and do all these things. And they're just like, I don't know, kind of cooler people. So I want my kid to be cool.
Oh my gosh. One of the biggest hurdles for me to overcome going on The Bachelor and still overcoming now is growing up in a mountain town in Colorado makes you a certain way. And a lot of people perceive it as like a weird way. I'm like normal when it comes to growing up in a
Colorado. I'm confused what this weird Colorado raising of children is all about. How are you guys different?
I'm like maybe even watered down as far as like growing up where I grew up. Like I'm not just normal. I'm like aggressively normal, to the point where I wish I was as weird as a lot of the friends that I grew up with.
But is that because you had all this freedom at a young age or what?
I'm just saying that people that grow up in small mountain towns in Colorado are a certain way, and like they have certain mindsets. Like all of my best friends from home share my views on like kids and being weird and like saying weird things and doing weird stuff, like to the point where it just is, it's second nature to me. But then I say it to our audience, which, you know, a lot of people don't get the chance to grow up in a mountain town, and it sounds weird.
You're making because Colorado, it's this mountain. You're making mountain people, these mountain people from Colorado sound like the people from the hills that have eyes. And there's been like five generations of inbreeding.
they're the best people in the world. I love them so much, but it's just a completely different lifestyle that unless you grow up in it or you have been lucky enough to live in it, you will never fully understand, because it does just breed a different type of person, for better or for worse. I'm not saying it's necessarily better, but like all of my
friends...
You're
not giving specifics.
All of my friends from home that you've met, they're like, they're just different versions of me, but maybe like more amplified in certain ways.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight. And honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Kaylin, what do you think? Because you also said that you find Colorado people a little different, which is why you want to have your child grow up in Colorado. So they're cool. What do you think they're so different?
Yeah. Well, I just think like, so Dean loves public transportation. We were talking about this in Japan. He was taking the bus by himself at like 2-3 years old. Four. You said four.
We moved to Colorado when I was like four. I was taking public transit when I was like maybe 9 or 10.
Okay, then you exaggerated. You told me you came back from ski and you pooped your pants.
Oh, yeah. I would poop my pants a lot. That was like when I was six.
I'm confused. Hold on. What is this story? So when you were six, you pooped your pants and then what? You took a train back by yourself?
We were talking about pooping pants and I was like, I used to poop my pants once a week. And it was always, I would go ski for the day, but this wasn't public transit. This was like, there was like a ski bus that they would, like a school bus for the skiing instructors and stuff. And I would get home from the day around like 2 or 3 p.m. And I have such vivid memories of this. And the bus would drop me off like 200 yards from my house. And every time I would get off the bus having to poop really bad, a 7-year-old, 6-year-old walk into the house, like fast walking with all my ski gear on. And I would always get like 40 yards away from my front door and just poop my pants. And I distinctly remember, this is way too much information.
No. I'm in it. We're going to lose
I
listeners.
I vividly remember the feeling of just a turd being in my ski pants because they're big pants and you got these boots on. So it catches like in your knee/calf region. And I just have this distinct memories of so many turds being caught in my poop pants, in my ski pants, my poop pants.
Your poop pants.
My poop pants. And I want my kid to be able to experience this.
Dude, I was so dramatic when I had to poop as a kid on the way home from school. I was so dramatic. I feel so stupid now thinking about those times when I was like 10 years old and my mom would pick me up from the car and I'm like, I have to poop right now. And she'd be driving as fast as she could through the back streets trying to get me home. And I'm like, I'm not going to make it. Like, mom, I need to go right now. I need to go right now. I'm like, I got if Dawson does that. I'm like, listen, bro, just fucking poop your pants if you have
just
to.
Just poop your pants.
Just relax. My
really
God,
put some hair on your chest.
So overdramatic about it.
I mean, I still do the same thing. We're driving home from dinner or something. I'm like, Caleb, I got to poop right now.
No, really. And he makes me pull over.
Yeah. Oh. Wait a minute. Pull over? You just poop on the side of the road?
Ooh, I just ordered. Can I talk about what I just bought? So
you're so all over the place.
I'm excited about this. It was one of my favorite. I haven't used it yet. I just ordered it. I haven't gotten it or received it yet. But so I'm hiking all of the 14ers in Colorado before our wedding. 54 to go. And I'm driving the truck. And I'm building out the truck so I could like access these like hard mountain passes on the truck versus the van. And there's this thing, this toilet seat that you plug into the trailer hitch receiver on a car or a truck, whatever it is. So you plug it into the trailer hitch and it just is like a toilet seat. And so you can just poop anywhere. So if like let's say I'm driving down the road and I got to poop really bad, I just take the toilet out and plug it into the hitch receiver. Boom, instant toilet. Isn't that awesome?
There's no privacy?
No, there's no privacy at all.
Where you does just the have poop to go?
So you dig a hole?
You could dig a hole. Preferably, you would like do it in like a plastic bag or something.
Hold on. Why does it need to be plugged in?
It's not plugged in. It's just like that creates the base for it to sit on. So instead of like setting it up on the ground, it's like a floating toilet seat that you plug into your hitch receiver.
Because previously, he would go up against a tree and then squat, right?
Well, there was that one time we talked about on the podcast. I was driving through Utah with you. And I was like, I got to poop bad. So I turned off the side of the road and I just leaned against the van.
Right before the podcast.
That was right before the podcast. So I turned, leaned against the van and pooped.
How does it make any difference? You're still pooping in a hole in the ground. It's not like it's a toilet.
Well, you're sitting comfortably like you would on a toilet seat. That's the big difference.
Yeah, but then there's like a gap between the toilet seat and the ground. So your poop is literally just like plopping into the earth.
Yeah, but your poop does that. Into a toilet.
I think that's enough poop talk.
It is. I'm excited about it. I'll send you guys pictures once I get it.
I really want to see this thing because I don't understand how this is a good purchase.
Oh my! And it was $80, and it
$80
felt a little expensive. Felt a little expensive, but I want to treat myself out there. Yeah. But yeah, so that's. Anyways, maybe we can focus on that for a second. So I'm going to climb all the 14ers in Colorado. Have we talked about this on the podcast?
Probably like 20 times.
Oh my gosh! Well, I'm just excited. I'm excited to do this. It's going to be really fun. I start on May 23rd. It's going to be my first summit.
Dean keeps asking me if I want to join, and no part of me wants to.
And I'm going to stop asking because the last thing I want is for you to come and join me for one of them and be absolutely miserable the entire time.
I think I would be.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my toilet seat story, and I'm excited for it. And I hope you guys can share it with me and my excitement for just a little bit.
I'm excited for you.
I would be excited if I thought it was a better product. I got to see
once you see
thing.
It, you'll understand.
Maybe. I just don't if I have to dig my own hole with or without a toilet seat. The toilet seat's not making a difference for me. You know, if I got to go outside and dig a hole. I almost don't want a toilet seat at that point cuz I want to get it done as fast as humanly possible.
I'll tell you what, this just ties back into growing up in a mountain town and how normal it is.
Exactly. Us Rhode Islanders have water.
You guys are missing out. Another thing that goes back to the mountain town thing, views on marriage and relationships. A lot of people want to just be in lifelong relationships and don't really see the need to get married growing up in mountain towns.
Some of your friends have gotten married and have kids. So they've changed their perspective.
The friends that have gotten married, there's the few of them that have. They have been dating their girlfriend for 12 years and they got married on year 11.
Your brother.
Brad was one of them. Dated Ashley for 9 years before they got married. Ross is a little different, obviously. But
are you trying to say that Kaylin is making you less and less of a mountain man every year?
1,000%. But also, I lived in Los Angeles for. I like did the absolute taboo thing to do is moving to Los Angeles, like the Iron Jungle,
and maybe going on a TV show where you could potentially get engaged after 6 weeks.
Yeah, that was definitely. That was more of like my friends were just ragging me for that, which I'm sure a lot of us did. But yeah. Oh, by the way, can we just give a quick congratulations to Becca and Thomas? They just announced their pregnancy. You want to know what's funny? So quick congratulations. The guy that I played golf with the other day works at the fire department in Reno with Becca's ex-fiance, Garrett.
Oh, small world.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Small world. What are the odds?
Yeah.
But I'm excited for them to have their baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited for them. I've only met Thomas once, and I've met Becca a few times, and she's so sweet. But I met Thomas at Ben's wedding.
Oh, same, yeah.
The one I saw you, Dina, for 5 seconds, and then you ditched Kaylin because you were, like, sick. I'll never forget that. You just wearing a mask. I'm like, why is he? I'll see him in a few. And then I saw Kaylin.
Gone.
And I'm like, what the hell is he? And I talked to him for like an hour and a half, maybe not, for like 40 minutes about Spider-Man and how No Way Home was coming out and the rumor that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield was back as Spider-Man. I'm like, this guy is a 6'8", beautiful, giant nerd. That's awesome. So
it's so funny. And I feel like we've talked about this before, but like the way that The Bachelor can edit people and like your perception of them. I thought Thomas was going to be such a jerk. And then I met him. He's so kind. He's so sweet. Like just a great guy. And it seems like he treats Becca super well.
Yeah. He seems like a gentle giant.
He seems very warm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, super excited for them. Congratulations, both Becca and Thomas.
I was trying to remember, are they married or just engaged?
Engaged.
That's why okay. I wonder if it was a surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to their wedding? I would imagine you guys probably are, yeah?
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, we haven't been invited, so that would be a no.
Neither have we. I don't expect us to get invited, obviously, but I thought you guys might.
No, we're not. I mean, I don't think Ashley really... I mean, we obviously follow each other on Instagram, and anytime we see them, you know, we're always chummy. They're very sweet people. But no, we're not, like, that close. We'll end on that awkward note.
I'm going to send you guys a link to this toilet seat because it is primo. Thank you guys.
This is a group chat.
We really didn't get to cover everything that we wanted to cover today, which is unfortunate. But when you're stuck with only an hour a week, you kind of just go off on tangents. So that's what we're known for here at Help We Suck at Being Newlyweds. But thank you guys for listening. We had some emails we wanted to get to. We didn't get the chance to do that.
We didn't even talk about Japan. We didn't talk about Hawaii.
We didn't get to talk about Japan or Hawaii.
We got a great episode coming up next week, baby.
Maybe we'll do a separate segment of just us two because that way we can get less. Oh, I gave Kaylin her new engagement ring. You want to show the crowd?
Am I allowed to?
Yeah, because by the time this airs, I'll have posted the video. So we'll put it closer.
Oh, yeah, I want to see it. Oh my God, it's gorgeous.
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty. Hold on, so you bought a brand new ring?
Well, I got a sponsored ad from Brilliant Earth. Thank you very much for supplying the ring.
It is my fourth ring.
Her fourth ring and definitely her last.
Fourth ring.
So I've got the one I'm wearing. This is number 4. Number 3 was the replica. Number 2 is my middle finger.
That's the one he proposed with.
And then number 1 is the one that's still lost.
Yes. So I gave her her fourth ring in Japan. Fourth and final.
Where did the third one come from? Lost the first one. Replica you engaged. Or you engaged with the middle ring.
Proposed with, yeah. Then I got just like a replica ring.
She was embarrassed by how small the proposal ring was.
And Dean wouldn't let me show anyone. He's like, don't show anyone. You're not allowed to show anyone.
But I wanted you to secretly be like, I don't care. I love it so much.
I said I don't care. And you're like, no.
I wanted you to be like, put me in my place and say, I don't care if it's small.
Shut up.
I don't care if it's small. What did you say? Little?
Little.
The cutest little ring.
The cutest little ring from the guy with the cutest little arms.
Yeah. So we didn't get to talk about Japan or anything, but I did. It wasn't a re-proposal or anything, but I did give her her new ring.
And I thought he was going to do it in Hawaii. So it really caught me off guard.
Whatever.
Oh my God.
You saw it coming a mile away.
No, I really didn't. That very really surprised me.
We can talk about that next week because I also want to hear from Jared how him and Ashley traveled together because Kaylin and I love each other very much. Sometimes we don't travel the best together.
We traveled great together. We could talk about it next week, but I have talked about getting off birth control and my hormones and my body have been out of whack. My periods have been so painful, my cramps, my PMSing. So yeah, I was pretty.
Are you guys PMSing? Are you guys not scared? scared would be the wrong term, but like now that you're off birth control, Kaylin, you know, like, are you?
I'm using my app to track and I'm hoping that it's very accurate.
Yeah. Well, and also I'm shooting blanks, so it's not like it really matters anyway.
Yeah, you're fine, obviously. Yes, no, yeah.
But no, we're not worried about it, I guess. I don't know. If it happens, it happens. We'll see. But yeah, that's it for this week's episode, right? Is there anything else
No.
you want to say?
No.
You don't want to tell remind the audience about how handsome I am?
You're so handsome.
Oh my God.
You have all the strongest arms.
That's going to do it for this week's episode of Help We Suck at Being Newlyweds. Make sure you guys tune in next week where hopefully we suck just a little less.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Help We Suck at Being Newlyweds.
And email us at newlyweds@iheartradio.com.
Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. We'll see you next time.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock.
On Thursday, February 29th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can celebrate an extra day of Black History Month with Walmart. This event is free and open to the public at 2 locations, Flatiron Plaza in New York City and Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles.
With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products.
It's free, it's for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart.
Trust, you don't want to miss it.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.